Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Podcast-Folge von Lebenskompass. Heute habe ich einen ganz besonderen Gast für dich eingeladen. Es ist eine gute Freundin aus Kasch, wo ich lebe. Sie heißt Fatma, sie wird sich auch gleich selber vorstellen. Und sie ist seit ungefähr 4 Jahren meine Yoga-Lehrerin. Und leider können wir uns auf Deutsch nicht verständigen, deswegen wird diese Folge auf Englisch für dich sein. Und ich hoffe, dass wir uns beide gut verständlich ausdrücken können, dass du die Inhalte gut verstehen kannst. Und ich erzähle dir auch gleich auf Englisch, warum ich diese Folge mit Fatma unbedingt machen möchte. Und jetzt switchen wir auf eine andere Sprache. Okay, first of all, I wanted to introduce to the people why I wanted to make this interview with you, Fatma, for some weeks already. Like, we are planning it for weeks or even months, maybe.
That's true.
When I came to Kasch like 4 years ago, I was very keen on doing some yoga classes, and someone advised me that I should try it with Fatma. And I remember that after the first class, I was already so impressed and so excited, because I loved the class so much. Fatma is doing a very special style, I think, which is not very common, or maybe in Germany common, more common than here in Turkey. It's Yenga yoga. She will tell something about that later. And I just loved the class, because when I was traveling before in Asia, I tried several yoga classes, and I always had the feeling that yoga might be the right, or the right sport for me in a way. But I never came out of the class and felt like, yeah, this is what I really want to do, or where I want to go on. But yeah, as I already said, after Fatma's class, I felt like, okay, this style and this lady and this this whole class really inspires me so much. So I'm very happy now to introduce Fatma about her yoga life and about her life philosophy. I mean, about much more. Let's see where the talk brings us to. First, maybe yoga Fatma, a warm welcome, and maybe you want to introduce yourself a little bit.
Thanks, Britta. Thanks for your lovely words. I am Fatma Bolbalkan, and I live in Kasch for 10 years now. And I've been teaching yoga mostly, it's been actually almost 13 years now I've been teaching. And then, like, all my movement and yoga practice, it's like maybe 16, 17 years now, wow. A long time. Mm-hmm. So I was always interested as a child, like moving around too much, climbing, like child's. Our era was a bit like that, but I was over enthusiastic about things regarding the body. I was always interested, like dance, stuff like that, traditional dances when I was in primary school. So I loved moving as a child. But later life went on a different direction. Then it was after university I studied media. In university, nothing related to movement or dance or whatever, even though this was my passion. Mm-hmm. But somehow I didn't get enough support as a child to go to that direction. Anyway, I found myself in media. Mm-hmm. I studied and I worked a little bit after finishing university. But it didn't fit me. Mm-hmm. And I quit my media work. Then I was doing different kind of work just to pay my bills. Mm. But thinking, what to do? What do I want? Mm. I was in Istanbul that time, living in Istanbul, in a very culturally rich part of Istanbul I was living. I was lucky to meet some inspiring people there. Mm. They were like maybe first people to bring meditation and yoga, modern, let's say, to Turkey, mm-hmm. more or less. And they were bringing some people for workshops. But at the same time, suddenly, quite similar places. It was happening all that same area. Mm-hmm. My work, my home, and all these courses and this environment. I was like really living there. It was very inspiring, and I started taking modern dance classes at the same time. I was going to meditation workshops. Mm-hmm. I was going to modern dance classes. Suddenly, I felt really empowered and happy and free.
Mm-hmm.
After work, I used to go to modern dance classes, really energizing. It finished like 10 o'clock. Evening time, but I never felt tired. I was so happy. But at the same time, like meditation, other stuff, I was into it. All these inspiring people, lovely to talk and blah, blah. But there was one big, how do you say, problem for me, which was language. English. That time I didn't speak any English. Oh. I decided to go to London. I knew that I had to learn English to read some sources. I was telling that, but I didn't know what sources they were.
Really? Okay, wow.
Then I found myself, even though I was very happy with my life in Turkey that time, very happy, satisfied, I had to go to London.
It just grew out of you that you knew
exactly,
you had to go.
Exactly. I had to learn English just to be able to read different sources. Also, one very, very, very inspiring modern dance teacher came to Turkey. I went to that lovely workshop. I didn't understand a word.
Oh.
He was talking in English. After that workshop, straight away, I was like, no, I have to learn and work with people who offer these lovely things.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it was same with meditation workshops and yoga workshops, like all these people coming to Turkey. I used to go there and understand nothing. And then,
you're really funny. I imagine small Fatma sitting there, doesn't understand anything, but just joining the very first.
Okay. Exactly. But with your dance, you don't have that much talking.
True. Yeah,
but I had my Turkish teachers as well, so I knew some stuff, learning some stuff in Turkish.
Okay.
Anyway, let me cut it short. I went to London to learn English. Mm-hmm. I started learning in English in Turkey, actually, but I was going to English courses.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I spent almost two and a half years in London. That changed, actually, a lot of things for me, not like language-wise, but again, there I was going to dance classes, yoga classes, lots of stuff available, lots of different style available. I was very happy. I was working in a coffee shop, but at the same time, I had a chance to work in a yoga studio there. And it was this kind of exchange, volunteering work. I used to get free yoga in return to my work there. So happy. Different styles. I traveled all over London for my free time after work and like classes. Anyway, this period came to an end, and I knew that this was my direction. I was like, in a way, certain after those years. Then actually it started like that, like dance, movement, yoga, meditation. But slowly, slowly, dance became a little bit, stayed a little bit on the background somehow. And yoga and meditation took up more space in my life. It was a shift, transition. It happened like that. Then my journeys, my visit to India started. After that period straight away.
By the way, how old were you when you went to London?
When I went to London, I was 26 or something like that.
Okay. It was not very typical for a Turkish young lady just to decide to go to another country. Okay. But go on then to India?
Then India, I went, I stayed for the first time straight after my London time. Long time, many courses, staying in the ashram, all traditional stuff, like very common for people who follow yoga path. At some point, you go to India as a young person and you are very excited and you are all over the place and you want to taste and try, understand and learn that beautiful tradition from the sources. It was very exciting, like since then, it was like 2008, first time when I went there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, in London, in India, I started doing teacher trainings, going to the courses, not already. Just like already. Until recent years, because of COVID, I haven't been to India. I've been regularly visiting India and studying with my teachers there, trying different kind of yoga classes, yoga courses, meditation courses, Ayurveda, all related to each other. So in Turkey here, where we live, it's a small place. It's difficult here when it comes to like applying all these things, like. But it's okay. It's lovely because place itself is very supportive. We are living very close to the nature here. So this is pretty much how I started.
Wow. Okay, I didn't know all the background before. And when I got to know you, I remember that you just had your exam of Iyengar. Maybe you want to talk a little bit about why you got in that style and how was your path there?
Yes, Iyengar style, I came across in India with Iyengar, practicing people. And I was very, that time, my training was very traditional Hatha yoga, my first teacher training. It was like regular ashram life. You stay in the ashram, learn there, and then strict rules. Very traditional kind of stuff you learn and practice. Iyengar yoga is like a little bit more modern, let's say, yoga, if you compare to traditional styles of yoga. And I was very impressed with the preciseness of it, discipline, and then it was offering variety. And then all these details and stuff like that, and the training itself to become an Iyengar teacher, there were like, it was tough. It was like really, you have to go deep, this kind of stuff. Teacher training takes 3 years, 2.5 years, and I was impressed with that because trainings normally, yoga teacher trainings, maybe you know, even for a month, 6 months, even though you don't have any yoga background, you go, and at the end of the period, you are certified as a teacher. But with the Iyengar system, this time was really long, so you learn a lot, and also you had to practice some yoga before to be able to get that course, even the course. So it was very suitable for me that time. This is how I came to learn. I have a Indian Iyengar yoga teacher living close to Himalayas, and I visited the Iyengar center many times. I had the teacher, my main teacher, training teacher in India. It's a community, England. It's a community. So when you go to a country, you can always find teachers there and work with them. This is how I like preciseness of it, detail, and the long or studying, learning period. It was like quite good for me. This is what impressed me. But after a while, when I became certified in Iyengar system, then I started like there was a hierarchy of it. It doesn't stop there. You become a teacher, but you always like go for the steps. And it's a hierarchical, I don't know how to pronounce in English, but it's a like difficult system. It didn't suit me later on. Like it's good. It was good for a period of my life. I learned and I really appreciate a lot from all these knowledge, and still actually I study and I feel happy to have that training. It was a very beautiful training, but I think at this point, suddenly we came here, but at this point, last 2 years, let's say, of my yoga life, let's say, now I'm in a phase like yoga is always evolving for me. Mm-hmm. It's not the same, even from the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's changing. It's yoga like a living entity for me, mm-hmm. like us. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's not static. It's a living tradition. Mm-hmm. It's changing, evolving. Mm-hmm. It's for me like that. Mm-hmm. So you go to a place, you take up a kind of practice, mm-hmm. and it is good for you until maybe it's not anymore. Yeah. It doesn't mean that this practice is not good. Definitely not. I cannot say for any kind of practice. It wouldn't be fair. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't suit you anymore. Mm-hmm. Now you take stuff from there. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to move. Mm-hmm. Because I believe in... to be open-minded, mm-hmm. and to feed that beautiful practice, mm-hmm. with lots of things.
Yeah.
Then I can honor the practice. Then I can serve the practice. Yeah. I can serve yoga with that.
Oh, beautiful. You said that. Wow. Okay. Yeah. So now we are coming to that point for the last 2 years that you said that changed something, right? Uh-huh. Yeah. What changed for you?
Yeah. Yani is Turkish, but...
no problem. One word is Turkish.
It never stops. Change, mm-hmm. never stops. Mm-hmm. Life always changing. We have to adapt. Mm-hmm. You know, adaptation process. Human being is gifted, mm-hmm. with that beautiful things called adaptation. Mm-hmm. And mind, like being static. Do you know, let's say all together... my yoga journey, not just teaching, with practicing and everything, let's say 16, 17 years, mm-hmm. it wouldn't be beautiful, it wouldn't be fair if mm-hmm. I still teach and practice the same thing 16 years ago.
Yeah.
So where would be all the, how do you say, things I learned?
Exactly.
What is the... improvement.
Yes.
What is the, how do you say, like something has to change. Mm-hmm. If it's the same thing, what is the practice then? Mm-hmm. Yoga helps you to, how do you say, evolve. Mm-hmm. If you are going to stay the same, it is not really beneficial, as you know. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the last 2 years, especially when it comes to last 2 years, not just for me, in yoga world also lots of things changed, mm-hmm. changing. It's always changing. Mm-hmm. But with this internet, mm-hmm. era, technology, now people are more connected, mm-hmm. from all over the world. It's a great chance. Mm-hmm. Even like 13 years ago when I went to India, there was no internet in India properly. You have to go to your internet cafes, mm-hmm. to talk to your family or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we used to meet people when we go there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes same people, same every year, same period, used to come there, and we used to meet there, maybe with emails, whatever that time. We used to communicate, but now everything is changing. Everything is fast. When something happens in America, mm-hmm. You hear, you are part of it. Mm-hmm. In Turkey also. Mm-hmm. It's very fast. Mm-hmm. So lots of information, lots of changing, lots of exchange going between different disciplines, different perspectives are now getting involved with, like I'm educating myself. It's a different kind of education now. Last mm-hmm. 2 years, I would describe it. Mm-hmm. Educating myself, my yoga knowledge, mm-hmm. which was not just what yoga was, mm-hmm. what the yogic tradition, philosophy, whatever, but what's happening in our modern world, what's happening with yoga. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In our modern world, mm-hmm. what is feeding yoga at the moment?
Yeah.
And also, we all know that with that Instagram, social media world, yoga become, in a way, I'm sad to say that, but it is kind of a truth, mm-hmm. that it's like a consumption, object of consumption, mm-hmm. at the same time. But you can always see, you can always connect with people who are really searching for the, how do you say, essence of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, for example, for me, I was quite hard and maybe closed myself and quite angry. There was a phase. There was a time I was like angry, why people are abusing yoga, blah, 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 blah. I was young that time.
Yeah, okay.
And I was angry. We have to keep the tradition like this. But maybe it's growing older with experience. And also you become more with the practice of yoga, thanks to practice of yoga, you start seeing things as they are. Also, instead of rejecting, instead of closing yourself, instead of, you start seeing, you start getting involving what's happening really to understand. If you don't educate yourself, for example, when this Me Too time, I came to Me Too time suddenly, but it really affected the yoga world. If you dig deeper a little bit, you would see that so many things happened last 3-4 years. It changed. Yoga changing, still changing.
Can you say something? Sorry for interrupting.
No, please.
Yeah, you're very much in that connection, exactly, you said already, international, and even in a new course, right? The course is from England or from America, which you are in now?
Now I'm doing a beautiful course from Canada. Our teachers are from Canada, but it's a very international group. It is called Modern Yoga Teacher Training.
Okay.
Another teacher training. Never ends.
It will never stop with you. I feel that.
And it doesn't belong to any tradition. It's I emphasize that because at some point, some people come to that state that you don't want to be any tradition anymore. It was nice, but now let's try to learn from a different perspective. And this training, what I'm doing at the moment, it's a very fresh, very new thing. It's been 2 months. It started. Canadian people, Canadian yoga teachers, a lovely group of people, but who participate that teacher training, like most of them experienced teacher all over the world. There are also newly like starting that teaching world. So actually it's great to be connected with people all over the world, then because it is easily for me, especially. I don't live in Istanbul here, I don't live in a big city. Kash is a small place, very, very small fishing town, let's say. You don't have a chance to like go and see what's happening, like, we are very isolated here. It's good to see.
Are there some points, because you said that the modern yoga course, let's say, are there some points you could emphasize which you learned until now, where you said this is really one of the big changes in the yoga world, or also for me in my yoga philosophy, which I have to which I have to accept, maybe, which I want to include now in my new thinking of yoga, or in general in yoga life?
Yes, that's a lovely question. As far as I understand, hopefully I understand correctly. Like with the new understanding, or where I see yoga now, let's say, actually, maybe I would say, there are lots of things to say, but I would say that it makes me more sensitive to the other aspects in the yoga world, like gender situation, like the connection, devotion to a it's mostly a man world, yoga world. If you go to the roots, also the teachers are men. There is generally one charismatic man, and all people around it, like without asking too much question, you are not allowed to ask too much. You have to accept that authority. Okay. It's this kind of learning. Generally, it used to be. I can say that in a way, now I'm trying to see from different perspectives, like, okay, one charismatic man.
Why is it like that? Yeah. Does it have to be like that always?
It's a red flag for me, for example, now.
Red flag.
Yeah, I'm talking about like yoga schools and things like that.
Yeah.
I used to go and see if people are equal in that space. In many ways. Is there a person being put above all over other place, the peoples? And then you have to accept their rule. Where is the critical thinking in that? Because, again, you are practicing yoga. It requires critical thinking. To be able to find out, like, this is a journey to the truth, like a bare truth, the truth of the moment. So we have to like open all those layers. We have to uncondition our being. So another conditioning, too many conditioning, when it's coming, like, you have to know, you have to be awake, clear, open-minded, asking questions, and also seeing, like, where is the woman's role there? Are we equal in that space? Where I'm learning at the moment, it's a completely new space for me, because it's great, it's beautiful. I feel equal with everybody there, even with my teachers. I never felt that before.
Wow. Okay.
It's super empowering.
Yeah.
It's giving you your power. It's not taking your power away from you.
Yeah.
It's not belittling you. You are equal there. So it brings a completely different kind of learning conditions and being as you are. So it's close to yoga.
It sounds so logical what you say. True. Because normally it should be one of the main learnings to find, as you already said, to find your essence, right? To find what you are, where you have the patterns, why you're behaving like that. But if there's really one leader, let's say, and you can't question it, so how can you start questioning yourself? How can you learn who you are as a human being? Very nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's one big learning for you now in this space, this gender questioning all this how would you say the word?
Hierarchy.
Thank you, that word. Is there any more learning which you say in this 2 months I really questioning that and I was
more learning for me, and also like unlearning. Now I'm unlearning some things that I learned. I'm not saying that I learned everything in a wrong way, no. But it's like going back more. Actually, let's talk about asana-wise. Like when we say yoga, even now, if we close the eyes, like some pictures coming in front of our eyes, like people doing some movements, isn't it? Sitting in a lotus pose or doing some poses, standing, lying down, whatever, asanas, yoga movements. This is also changing a lot, understanding of asana, the emphasis. As a young woman, when I started, I was enthusiastic doing all that beautiful asanas that you read and see from old books as well. You want to achieve a pose, or you are being taught that way, you are being led that way. It's good for your improving your energy, improving your health, everything. But after a while, it occurs to me that actually, what do we do Yin and asana, yes. If you go to Patanjali's asana description, like it's a steady pose that you are aware of it, aware of the moment, like you are steady in that pose. Your mind is steady, like mental state is important, not what you are doing, in a way. But moving is good for us. And all different yoga poses affect different part of our energetic system, let's say. But I was really surprised when I went to a lovely old school Ayurvedic doctor once. He was, I was in pain that time, and he was like giving a consultation to me. I was in the middle of a very vigorous training that time in India. I was doing all kind of stuff, like very vigorous asana practice, and I was in pain. My body is fragile. I'm a very, I have weak joints, how do you say, very slender person, slender. My bones are like, you can see my bones from outside. So not very strong physically. Like, this is my constitution, but I was doing all those stuff. When I was talking to that lovely Ayurvedic doctor, he told me what kind of yoga I do, what poses. They are very knowledgeable about yoga because Ayurveda and yoga are like sisters. It's really part of each other. Then he told me, when I told him that headstand, I have to practice shoulder stand, I thought, and he was like, oh, no. He was so lovely. No headstand for you. No shoulder stand for you, he told me.
Okay.
And I was shocked, and of course I didn't accept that time. No, I had to. Seriously.
Part of my practice.
Part of
okay.
my practice, I had to. But my husband was with me, and he was always reminding, Fatma, do you remember what Ayurveda doctor says?
Oh, really?
Never sees me. Then I, suddenly, after a few years, not too long later, like after a few years.
After a few years or weeks?
Of, no, after a few years of that Ayurveda doctor, meeting with Ayurveda doctor, I just noticed, started noticing, my body is actually painful after, not very happy. There were some stiffness developing, something developing in a negative way after doing some certain poses. And my joints weren't happy as they were before. And slowly, slowly, I stopped all these complicated things.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and then I started thinking about, like, what would asana practice, what would be, what asana practice would provide to a person? Because we are all different, we are all changing. Maybe they were good, they weren't bothering to me when I was my 20s, 30s, now I'm in my 40s, maybe I have to change. Obviously, we always change our practice according to the time of, now, according to age, whatever. But actually, I started stopping lots of things that I'm practicing for a while, just to see.
Okay.
And I started from the basics, and I started re-evaluating how I am doing, what I am doing, why. And also starting observing more clearly which pose, how does it affect me afterwards? Like repetitive movement all the time, same things repeatedly over and over again. Does it really benefiting me? Some things. I'm not talking about the whole asana practice, but some certain things. Now I came to a different kind of understanding, and some things I don't practice. Some things I change. I still do vigorous practice, but it doesn't involve certain poses every day. I have to practice this amount of time, that this one you have to practice to be able to, like, to be a yoga teacher. I don't believe this kind of must, should, have to things. Yeah, this understanding also really supportive, again, really opening beautiful a field of movement, more variety actually. more possibilities. And again, being open to be fed from different kind of movement practices. So you are not limiting yourself anymore.
Very beautiful. And I imagine it makes it so hard as a teacher, because anyway, you have to think in so many things that there are so many different students, right? So many different bodies, so many different way of thinking, of living. And then you have to include all that and to be sensitive for every student, what is good for him or what not. Anyway, I love that with your practice from the first day on, that I always make advertisement for Fatma in that way, that I say, like, she's so sensitive about every type of person, every type of body, that you know everybody's weak body parts, and you tell me, for example, yeah, Britta, you with the knees, be careful about that and that. Maybe you shouldn't do it like that, or you should, could try it like that. So I think you were anyway, for me, like the teacher was very sensitive and aware about things, but now it's even more, or it seems even harder for you, right?
Because that's then you, true.
Yeah,
that's true.
How can you tell? How can you teach now?
That's true. Actually, that's why I stopped teaching for a while, just to digest all this new information, all this new changing. And also I had a little accident. It was like I fell from the scooter, and for a while I couldn't teach. I couldn't do my regular practice as well. It was a time also I thought all about. It was the same time, like I didn't teach. I took a break. It was very good. So you have a chance to see things from outside and you have a chance to digest. I love digesting. I love also, I used to love go to India for long trips, like 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. During that period also I didn't teach. So this time to yourself and you are like questioning yourself, am I doing the right thing? This is me, I don't know. I always question myself. I always double check. I always check. Am I the things that I'm teaching really benefiting people, like benefiting me, my self-practice, and the teachings that I'm like offering really good for people. Not just physically, like if you are giving yourself to that digestion time, then when you come back, it's different. As we are talking, we've been talking, changing, shifting, evolving, like yoga actually teaches us to be flexible. So if you are flexible yourself mentally, physically, it brings luckily that flexibility also, but most importantly mentally, then you are open to change, you are honest, your intention is honest because you want to benefit. So then you trust yourself. This is important. You trust yourself because you are doing that, you do your best. There is always negative things might happen, but you do your best. That's the important thing. You are not always sure that you are doing the right thing, if especially if your personality, if your conditioning is like all the time like revolving around questioning yourself, like maybe I'm mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, like this background talk. Like, but after all those years, maybe now I can like say that after all those years, I started saying a little bit, okay, I'm doing my best.
Trying my best.
Yes. Not beating up myself too hard anymore. Like I'm doing my best. So.
Yeah, how beautiful. And that's for sure. Yeah, and that we're also maybe coming to that point, which we already talked in our two talks before, when we tried to make a podcast and couldn't do because we were talking so much.
It's true.
We talked about also trauma, and you said that the knowledge about trauma is very important now for you. And it also seemed a little bit that you even were were shocked in a way that this knowledge is not very common in the yoga world, or was not very common in the yoga world, but that it's so important for teachers especially to be aware that there might be traumatized people in the group which are not open to, or which should not be open that easily for every kind of meditation, for every kind of position, for closing eyes, whatever. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's also, I think, a new learning for you. Or maybe not that new, I don't know.
No, actually it's the recent years. I never thought about before, to be honest. How I started thinking about it. But by the way, again, thank you very much. I think it's a very important question that we should hold. We should be like asking to ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's really shocking. I used to go to silent retreats also when I was in India. Different kind of meditations. Silent retreat meditations, different kind of trainings. But that time I never thought about this. Probably I didn't came across for myself very strong emotions or whatever, always something happening, but nothing strongly affected me. But later when I started like reading about things, I started asking questions to myself, how true is it that there might be some people, because I wasn't necessarily teaching too much meditation. I was teaching yoga mostly, little bit time of meditation, but not going very deep. I was never a meditation teacher, but it was the same with yoga. In 2015, like 6 years ago, I went to Donna Farhi's workshop when she came to Turkey. She's a beautiful, wonderful, very well-educated teacher from New Zealand. And she was talking about all these subjects during that 5 days of intensive workshop. Maybe she was one of those teachers who put the seed in me. Regarding all these subjects, like touching or not touching, how much how far you should go, and also later when it comes to closing the eyes, opening the eyes, changing the positions, and also even with that little period of meditation I used to teach in my yoga classes, I started observing my language. So I started. Also, now with last 2 years with online teaching, you don't touch people, but I used to touch people. For our tradition, it is important to correct people, but I never touched too much anyway. Never pressed, go and pressed. I never did these kind of things, like gentle things. But even this, I started questioning. So actually, last few years was in that way also, when it comes to trauma, when it comes to there might be people, a person in a group that maybe had a trauma. In past they had a trauma, and maybe it wasn't a good idea. It is not a good idea to... staying all with all these feelings at that very moment, and you know, all this stuff being like sometimes
sad, which is yes, sad, right?
I try to be very careful about my language. I try to give more space for people to change their position. I offer different positions or different solutions. I try to. I'm still on a process of educating myself on this subject, but this is also a new aspect for myself to consider last few years. I think we have to be really mindful about this and always have this question in our mind, you know, how does it affect?
Yeah, Different people, yeah.
Exactly.
And at least leaving this open space, right? Like it doesn't have to, you already said this shoulds and musts to I put out of my yoga practice and of my life. And I think it's always also my personal life. It's something good. Whenever there's a should or I must, then I always try to question that. From whom did I get this phrase that I have to, that I should? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not correct for this time of my life, for my personality, for whatever. So it's actually more important to empower people to find out if this pose is good for yourself.
Exactly.
And I had always very, very nice the feeling in your classes that it really empowers the people to observe yourself, to stay in contact with yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now it came to my mind that that's what I didn't like at all in Thailand. Whenever I went to a yoga class, I felt inside. So now I try to connect the two parts of the reportage because I stopped once in our interview. I hope you don't hear it as a listener. And we already talked so deeply and so nice with Fatma for 45 minutes?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, for 45 minutes. So for this time, I hope you could benefit of our talk and to get to know Fatma and her thoughts and her life. And yeah, who knows, maybe we meet again and we make a second part.
Who knows? That would be lovely, actually. It was a pleasure to talk to you, like always, Britta. You put questions.
Thank you.
Also, I know that you are very interested in all these subjects.
Yes.
And you are really interested in getting to yourself better.
Yeah, for sure.
So lovely to talk to you. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, the same. So yeah, who knows, maybe some weeks later we have a second part. And stay healthy. Und noch kurz auf Deutsch einen Abschluss. Ja, ich hoffe, dir hat die Folge gefallen und du konntest es auf Englisch gut verfolgen und einige Sachen mit rausziehen. Und genau, damit wünsche ich dir einen schönen Tag oder schönen Abend. Bis dahin, deine Britta.